Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I am Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Thank you guys for joining us yet again. We appreciate all of your support. It means so much to us.
It really does.
And actually with that, we were amazed to realize that we've had over 1,000 downloads now of the podcast, which is more than we ever thought we would get to.
Yeah, I remember you talking about one of your clients and you're like, yeah, he said he'd listen. And we were like just happy to have at least one person that wasn't related to us.
Right. And I was like, there's probably a couple people I know who would listen, but we figured it would be a handful of people just listening to us and, you know, indulging us in our new little hobby here.
Right. So this is amazing. And you guys are awesome.
We really appreciate it. Again, we're recording the same way we recorded last week right now. We are still in the process of figuring out new audio, but we appreciate all of the feedback you guys gave us last week. We're glad to know that the sound quality wasn't too terrible. You know, of course, we're going to be more critical of ourselves and the way our stuff sounds. We just want what's going to be best. We want to be putting out the best for you guys. So we do really appreciate all of your support in this and being patient with us as we're stumbling through this and learning as we go and YouTubing and Googling and all of the things.
Mm-hmm. We're just learning as we go.
We are. And so thank you for that. And then one last announcement on my end before I pass things over to Shannon. The news story, as far as we know, is still happening.
I believe so. We got a little, not a sneak peek, but like a little clip kind of.
Of them editing stuff. So I know they interviewed the psychiatrist or psychologist last Tuesday, right before last week's episode, The Dicey Situations, came out, and we're just waiting to hear. So as soon as we know, we will let you guys know. We'll definitely post that to socials. We're really excited to hear about that, because when they interviewed this other woman, they were asking pretty much, like, why are we into true crime? And I'm fascinated by that. I don't know that I want to watch us talk because I feel so weird about that.
Yeah. No. I always just think about,
but I want to hear. Nope, I don't want to see what I look like on camera.
I know. I was thinking about Friends. Anyone that watches Friends, when Monica says, you know, the camera adds 10 pounds. Yes. And they're like, how many cameras did you have on you?
Oh, right. When they have the, when.
So that's kind of Monica. What I'm like expecting.
But. Yeah. So thank you guys for being with us through this fun new journey for us. And with that, Shannon, I would love to hear your story.
Okay, so the story this week was one that I've always been very curious about. When I lived in Lincoln, it was shortly before I had moved to Omaha. This case happened in Omaha. So this was 2006, and I had heard of this case, and it just always bugged me that I didn't look into it more. And it's not like I couldn't have, you know, I could have, but then I thought this is like the perfect opportunity. So it just really pulled at me to like look at this and kind of share the story with people who might not even realize this happened, or people who remember it very clearly. So this is Omaha in 2006, and we are talking about Jessica O'Grady. So Jessica was a 19-year-old that lived here in Omaha. She attended college at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. She was studying elementary education. She loved kids and really wanted to be a teacher. She lived in an apartment with a couple of close friends out in West Omaha. She had known these girls for, it sounds like, a long time. Their names were Holly and Tracy. And they always said, and I mean other friends as well, that she was just so social and always stayed in touch with everybody. She was on her phone a lot, texting, calling people, which sounds about right for a 19-year-old.
19-year-old, 2006, unlimited text messaging is now a thing, which was so exciting. Mm-hmm. 2006, because that's around the time I was graduating high school.
Oh, you're just a little baby. I'm not that much older, actually, but I can, like, act like I
mean, I'm about to be 34 in a few days.
I know. That's crazy.
FYI, my birthday's coming up.
FYI, I'm really excited about your gift. So, yeah, you don't know yet, but
I know.
Yeah, I'm really bad at keeping secrets, too. So I'm surprised I haven't just told you yet.
I'm surprised you haven't either.
But you know what? We're going to hold out now. Now that we've waited this long. So, all right.
All right. So Jessica our typical 19-year-old teenager, loves to be social, texting all the time.
Yeah. Yep. Nailed it. So Okay, on the evening of May 10th of 2006, Jessica told her roommates that she was going to her boyfriend's house. So she left around 10:45, between there and 11:15 is what they remembered. So little did they know that this would be the last time they would actually see Jessica. So Jessica left and she called her boyfriend on the way. And then she also... Oh, wait, no, sorry, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. So she calls her boyfriend, and then that's all we know really about that night as of now. So the next day rolls around, and Jessica doesn't show up to work. So she worked at a steakhouse, and her boyfriend was actually employed there as well. So the steakhouse, just because I like to share the areas for people that are in town, it's like, you know,
that live in Omaha, yeah. Nebraska.
Yeah, sorry, in town. I forget that we are in Omaha and you guys might not know that. Okay.
Some of our listeners might not be in town.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm like very just tired and okay, guys. So in Omaha, she worked at Longhorn Steakhouse off 144th and West Center Street. So
I love their food.
Oh, I love their margaritas. They have a Pop Rock margarita and it is amazing. And no, I'm not getting paid for an ad on this. I'm just telling you to go. It's a weird thing to get at a steakhouse, like, you know,
a margarita.
But it's bomb.
They had like this grilled corn on the cob that was amazing. I want to say it had like cheese or parmesan something on it. It was like parmesan crusted grilled corn.
Corn good, cheese good, butter good.
And that was one of my cravings when I was pregnant with my daughter, was steak, which luckily that was a short craving because that's an expensive craving.
Oh, yeah. Correct.
Salad was one of them for a second,
oh, hey,
too.
That's but, good. You know. Look at you.
So we went there a couple times in my pregnancy with her, and that corn was amazing.
Now I'm just steak. Really hungry, and
I just want steak.
Yeah. Maybe we should have a little...
Let's have a business meeting.
Yeah, because we can write that off. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Me gusta margarita. I'm excited because I hope they still have that, though. That was a while ago, but okay. Here we go. Sorry, guys.
So
we got real sidetracked.
She didn't show up to work at Longhorn Steakhouse where her boyfriend also worked.
Yes. Okay. Look at that. You're tracking. Okay. So at this point, all contact from Jessica's phone has stopped as of May 10th, late that evening. All the calls that were made to her phone went straight to voicemail and no one had heard from her. There was nothing outgoing from her phone. So this is way out of character for Jessica, and her family was immediately worried when they discovered that she had left behind all of her belongings, including her cat. So her cat, she referred to as, quote, her baby. And let's be honest.
Listen, I tell people I have two kids and three fur kids.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. When they're like, how many kids do you have? I was like, well, two human and three fur.
Yes. I mean, anyone that has pets, like, you get it. You know, it's the other night we had a moment where one of my dogs was sick and I just got overwhelmed and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so much responsibility. This dog is relying on me. What if she dies and I can't fix it? And I was like, okay, this is a lot. Like, why do I get dogs if I'm so scared of them dying?
Listen, I'm sad I can't hold Wick like a little baby anymore, because remember when they were still just 3 months old? Because,
oh yeah, side story and fun fact.
We have dogs that they just turned 9 months old today.
I know.
We're recording this. Shannon has this sister to my little boy Wick, and they are tall, lanky dogs. But when we first got them, I could hold him. He would let me hold him like a little baby. And now I tried the other day, and he's so big. I mean, he'll lay there.
Yeah, and it's almost like they're so not like big. Too heavy. It's just awkward because their limbs are stick out.
Yeah,
they're so cute. At some point, we should probably share a picture of them.
I mean, I have. He's the one who I've posted a picture of.
Oh, yeah, you have. Okay.
He lays by me while I'm editing. He's definitely a mama's boy.
Yeah, he's...
For sure.
Yeah, I need to post one of my girl, but...
I completely understand her love for her cat and calling her cat her baby.
Yeah, so she... Okay. Her roommates laughed about this, and I thought that this was so great, because they said that any time that Jessica would leave for an extended amount of time, she would make sure that her roommates were going to take care of her cat by having them sign a form that they promised to take care of the cat, which is funny, and I get it, you know? So that alone, the fact that her cat's still there and she's just gone, like, if she was just running away or something,
she'd have taken her cat.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just love that she loved her cat like that, because, I mean, yeah, I love an animal. So, okay. Besides, you know, leaving everything behind, they check her bank account as well, and they see that there's still money in there, and there has been no new activity. So she hasn't spent anything, and her recent paycheck was also not picked up. And that is a huge red flag, because college students would never, ever let a paycheck sit untouched.
Well, and if you are running away,
right,
don't you want all the money possible?
Right.
Also, you're 19 and you don't live at home anymore, so what is there to run away from?
Correct.
But I mean, I guess,
right, when you're looking at all angles, like, yeah, that could be, I mean, you don't know yet.
Right.
You know, I mean, most people that know, I mean, we're going that route, but here we go. So, I mean, she probably lived paycheck to paycheck, so that was a huge alarm there. So that happens, and then several days go by after she's been missing, and finally a break in the case comes when they find her car. It was a gray four-door Hyundai Accent across the street from Longhorn Steakhouse, where she worked. So, Omaha people, this was at the Shopko off 144th and Center as well. RIP to Shopko. But that was, her car was over there, and it was locked, and there was no signs of any struggle in or around the car. So that was odd in itself. They actually thought that maybe they would find her in the trunk of the car, but they did not. So no answers really there, but they did also comment on the fact that her car was very clean, and she's a college kid, and they said she never kept her car clean.
Listen, when you travel a bunch, like, even as a mom, too, but, like, as a college student, you're working, you're going to school, you're hanging out with friends,
100%,
you're eating in,
yes,
your car, you're, oh, tossing, yeah, things in your car, things that you know you're going to use in multiple places, you just leave in your car.
Clothes,
listen,
water
we're
bottles.
Sitting in my car recording, and I had to toss stuff from my front seat, oh, into my back seat, and this is a new car, but my daughter from preschool had,
oh, yeah,
like, papers and stuff that I haven't taken out yet, because I'm a procrastinator.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of paper sometimes, too.
Yeah.
It's like, is that necessary? It's cute,
yeah,
and it's great, but, like,
exactly.
I don't need
so
it. Thank you.
I get it.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best to keep the new car clean.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
No,
it's great.
The struggle's real.
It has the new car smell and everything, so I love it. Okay, back to the story. So, also, just, I remember one of my friends talking about when they found her car, because she lived, actually, very close to that area, and she said it was like crazy when there was, everything was, you know, marked off, and there was police everywhere, and she said she didn't know exactly what was going on, but it was, they, at this point, it was on the news that she was missing, and so, you know, that was her first thought, was, oh my gosh, did they find her? So it was interesting to talk to people who, you know, remember it very clearly. So
I'd be interested too, like, was there surveillance in the Shopko parking lot?
I also thought that, because
if it wasn't there, I'm assuming it hadn't been there for a couple days, and then all of a sudden it was there.
Right. I don't know. I thought that too. And there's like a McDonald's right there.
Yeah.
And that, I'm pretty sure that was there at that time.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Here,
but either way, you would think that there was some
sort of surveillance.
I mean, it's a busy area. I thought that too. That was never mentioned anywhere. So I thought, I mean, there must,
I mean,
not,
there must
have
not have
been,
but then, yeah.
It's just one of those things too that, this is why we would be good investigators, right? Like, check the surveillance. Duh. So, okay. So, they find the car. And then, at this point, you know, they're just, I mean, everybody is concerned. So, they talked to Jessica's roommates, Holly and Tracy. And they kind of walked them through the night that Jessica had left from what they remembered. Nothing really stood out of the norm. They said that she had been texting a boy named Chris for most of the evening, and she was really giggly with all of her texts, and she didn't say what she was talking about, but you could tell she was just happy. So they only knew about this guy because he had been to their apartment just a handful of times, and every time he was there, him and Jessica were very flirty with each other, and I mean, they didn't think anything seemed alarming about him or anything. So that night that she left, after she was texting him, she took a shower, fixed her hair, and put on makeup, left around, again, you know, 10:45, 11:15-ish. And as she left, she said for them to wish her luck. and she was going to Chris's and would see them later.
Why did she ask them to wish her luck?
I don't know. I also was like, I don't know. Maybe because it was like a new thing, like wish me luck. I'm, you know, when you're nervous, like to go see someone you like, but I don't know.
I mean, like earlier you called her boyfriend, but were they boyfriend, girlfriend, or was it like casual, they're seeing each other, maybe she wants it to be more?
I feel like it really depends on who you ask.
Gotcha.
Because all of the like news sources said boyfriend, but then when they talked to the roommates and stuff, they didn't make it sound like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure on that. I think it was kind of just like, you know, you're 19, it's not serious.
You're flirting, you're having fun, right. Sleeping together, maybe. Yeah.
That's what I mean, I have gathered.
You're enjoying your youth.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe she just, wished me luck. Maybe they were going to talk about like making it official or something like that. That's kind of what I was thinking. So, that's kind of what they got from the roommates. The police also spoke with another friend of Jessica's. Her name was Carrie. Carrie said that her and Jessica talked every single day by text or on the phone. And if a day went by without them talking, it was super weird. No matter what, they would talk. So on May 10th, as Jessica was driving to Chris's house, she called Carrie on the way there. So they talked a little bit. She didn't really say what they discussed. But about an hour after they had talked on the phone, Jessica texts Carrie and said, "No shenanigans for Jessica." And Carrie said that this was code for no sex.
Okay, well then maybe that's why she wanted luck.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, she was hoping to get a little lucky that night.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Shenanigans, though, you know, code talk, whatever. So that was what she gets from her. And, you know, it's kind of silly sounding just because that's what they talked about. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like anything alarming at this point as well. So at this point in the investigation, they decided to interview Chris. So his full name is Christopher Edwards. And he's the alleged boyfriend that she was going to see the night she disappeared. Also, before I kind of go into this, I found it weird that they had not talked to him yet at this point.
Yeah, why isn't he one of the first people, like, when it's being reported on May 11th, why aren't you going to talk to him right away?
Right. I don't know. I don't understand that.
Unless, I mean, in 2006, maybe they were still like, oh, she's 19 and, like, not taking, because, you know, like, a lot of those things, like, I mean, you hear so many where, like, 70s and 80s of, like, oh, they just ran away as a troubled teen and all that. Yeah. They're old enough, you know.
Yeah. They don't worry about it until it's been so many hours, which I don't know if that's, like, a thing still.
I don't know if that's still a thing.
But either way, I mean, I don't know why they didn't, but they finally do at this point. I don't know how many days it exactly was. But so they talked to him, and he appears to be super helpful, but very evasive. He says that he had gone golfing that day, May 10th, with some of his buddies, and then that night, his friends were going to a late-night movie, and he opted out of that. He said that he and Jessica decided not to meet up, after all, on May 10th, and he had called her. He said she did not come to his home on May 10th. Then, he said that he had texted her May 11th to see why she hadn't come over.
I'm sorry, what?
Hmm.
Listen, Ray. Boy, if you're gonna tell a lie, get your story straight.
You've had time. You've had plenty of time to come up with something if it's been days. It's not like they caught him off guard.
Yeah, don't say you called her and told her not to come over and then that you text her and ask why she didn't. If anything, be like, I tried calling her to see why she hadn't come over and then I text her again the next day.
Correct. So that when he says that, that's, you know, investigators are like, okay, this is clearly his stories don't match up. So they, you know, they finally then they look at his phone records after that to kind of confirm his story. And they see that, surprise, ding, ding, Chris was lying. And he had not called her on May 10th, but she had called him. Because like I had mentioned earlier, since she called him on the way. Also, he did not text her the next day, or actually, he never texted her again at all.
I'm sorry. Why, if you're going to say you text her, wouldn't you have why wouldn't you have texted her? There have been plenty of crimes. And again, I'm not trying to tell someone what you should do to get away with a crime.
Right.
But there have been crimes that I've listened to where, like, the murderer knew the person was dead because they killed them, but we're still texting them.
Getting, like, an alibi. I mean, somewhat, you know, like, you're the concerned boyfriend, your girlfriend's missing. if you really cared. And so
if you said, I text her, it's proof.
Right. And I'm sorry, like, it's all over the news at this point. It's 2006. It's on social media, I'm sure. I don't know. But, like, you know that she's missing at this point. So you can't play dumb either, you know?
Also, like, even if you're not super serious, if you're still kind of hanging out and together and, like, flirty and sleeping together and all these things, like, why wouldn't you have, like, tried to reach out and be like, hey, I'm concerned your friends can't get a hold of you. Like, what's going on? Like,
and even then,
or try calling,
knowing that you knew her and that she was supposed to come over. Why wouldn't you offer help or something? Yeah. You know, a lot of times they say how, like, the suspect is part of the search parties and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. Not giving any ideas, but I just feel like if you really thought it through, which he didn't.
No,
so,
he clearly didn't.
No. So after that, then they also decide, you know, they clearly need to get a warrant to search his home. So they do. So Chris Edwards lives with his aunt in her house off of 120th and Blondo. I actually lived in an apartment right over there. So it's really crazy to me. I just, when you hear about how close things are to places like you've been, it just blows your mind, you know, to think this crazy crime happened right next door, and I had no idea.
I've got a friend who lives in a neighborhood, like, right around 120th and Blondo. It's a cute little area.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It's...
Now I'm like, which house?
Oh, I'll show you. No. Of course, I'm like, oh, I, you know, I saw, like, on the news coverage, I saw it showed it. So I was like, okay, like, I mean, without going by, you can see which one it is. But, so, she had a house that he lived in. He lived in the basement, and it kind of sounds like it was his own little... apartment situation, because there was a separate door so he could kind of come and go as he pleased and nobody would ever know or think of it upstairs, like if he's leaving, coming and going, college
kids, if he never has to go upstairs. I wonder if it had its own like little kitchenette and everything too. I have no idea. Fridge.
I mean, I'm sure probably, you know, if he's like living down there and just, I don't know, but that's the, you know, the story there. So they go down to his bedroom and immediately they find evidence that a crime had happened. There were numerous bloodstains in the room, on the headboard of his bed, on the mattress, comforter, other furniture, walls, ceiling, and on his laundry basket. They also found a sword that was stained with blood. So they know something happened here.
So he's just been sleeping around all that blood for days?
Uh-huh. And, okay, blood has such a metallic-y smell.
Yeah.
Gross. And then I feel like if there was as much blood as they say, you know, they had found, I don't know, wouldn't you smell that? Like, even upstairs? I don't know.
No, probably not. No, not that. If there was a body.
Yeah, that's true.
That's going to be more potent. But blood itself, probably not.
I just don't understand, like, if you've had this much time, too, and it's just, you know it's there, and you're not...
It's not that hard to clean up. You get a rag and some warm water and soap.
Have you killed someone before, Cassie?
No, but I'm a woman who's had a period.
Tips for getting rid of blood, cold water.
And shampoo.
Oh, I was going to say Dawn dish soap, too.
That works, too. Yeah, yep. Cold water and shampoo, Dawn dish soap. I've also had a lot of bloody noses as a teenager. My gosh.
So good.
So, yeah.
Okay, well,
don't out me, Shannon.
I'm just kidding. Nah, you wouldn't be dumb enough to even do it in a place like that, you know?
I wouldn't talk about it either.
Yeah, absolutely not. Okay, so they find all of these stains, and I just think how alarming that would be to walk into that not really sure, you know, what had happened. So as they're in there, they're seeing all these blood stains, and they can also tell that someone had tried to paint over some of the blood stains, at least. I don't know all of them or not.
Why wouldn't you just wash it?
Right. Because if you paint over it, that's going to smell too. And I feel like it's not going to... Are you going to get the exact same white or whatever? It's going to be obvious. Like, you're going to see patches of... I don't know.
I mean, if you're going to do it, then I feel like then you should just paint a whole new color.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. So they also search Chris's car that was in the garage, and they find a dirty shovel, a pair of garden shears that had blood stained on the handles, and the trunk of the car was completely bloodstained.
Oh.
Yep. And nearby, they found a trash bag containing bloodstained towels and a receipt from Walgreens. So the receipt for Walgreens, it looks like he purchased poster paint, shoe polish, and whiteout.
Are these the things he was painting his room with?
Uh-huh. Sure was.
How do you paint with whiteout?
And isn't polish? It come in a tiny little bottle? Like, how many of those would you need?
You would need so many.
And it doesn't it just, like, go on very, like,
I think some of it kind of can go on thick. But even then, you would need so much. And it doesn't look like paint. You can tell the consistency of white off. And doesn't shoe polish wipe off?
I know. I don't understand.
I have so many questions.
Walgreens, they have one of everything. I mean, they're not going to have, like, multiple brands of things. So why would you even go there?
And why wouldn't you just go to Walmart or Lowe's or Home Depot and get real paint? Or even just spray paint. Even spray paint would make more sense to me than white out.
Right. Well,
shoe polish.
And maybe I had this thought, like, not that he clearly, I mean, he tried to cover any of it with his lies, but maybe he thought that, like, if they saw him on surveillance at Walgreens buying those things, they wouldn't think anything because it's just very simple, basic, like, oh, I have white out for whatever, you know?
I don't know. At that point, I feel like if you're going to do white out for that, you should at least get, like, pens and paper.
That's fair too. Yeah. So
I have a paper to write.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's not smart, but I mean, they, of course, do look at the store surveillance and they did confirm that it was him. And he had been at Walgreens May 11th, the day after she was seen. This was the Walgreens on 132nd and Maple. So that's fairly close to us.
I go to Walgreens, but
I just think that's so crazy, too. It's like you're next to people all the time in stores and you just don't even know. Like, this kid just walked in there. I saw the video, the surveillance of it, and he's just like some scrawny, skinny dude, you know, like, you wouldn't think anything of it or that he's capable of what happened.
I've seen something that says, like, in your lifetime, you're near so many murderers. I don't remember the numbers. I should try to find this and we should post it to our socials.
Yeah,
so I can find
that's
it
actually really interesting.
I don't know if it's legit or not. Because how do you find that out?
Right.
How is that something that you know for sure? Just like the whole, in your life, like, every year you eat 8 spiders in your sleep.
Ew.
How do they know?
I know. Are they watching? Did this happen to one person in South America where there's, like, tons of spiders? I don't know.
I don't like spiders.
I would rather be next to a murderer than have spiders. I mean, because if they're just next to you, they're not killing you. You're just by them, right?
I mean, maybe they'll decide to kill you then later.
Okay, well.
I mean, spiders can kill you, though, too. We got brown recluse and black widows here.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So, okay.
Back on track.
So they saw him at Walgreens. That's kind of where we left off. Okay. So kind of back to the crime scene. They said that the amount of blood that they found made it highly unlikely that Jessica survived if indeed this was her blood. They questioned Chris about the blood spatter they found, and he said that he had cut his wrist.
How badly? You'd have to cut your wrist pretty badly for it to spray
on the ceiling?
Up onto the ceiling.
I know.
And is that even a thing that really happens if you cut your wrist like that? Wouldn't it just... Isn't that a movie thing? I feel like it's like when you see it in the neck and the artery.
It sprays. Yeah.
It sprays.
I know.
I don't feel like your wrist does.
Right. And maybe he had like a cut on his wrist from the attack or something anyway that he was trying to just use as an excuse or whatever. That's what he said about that. So then I know I had talked about there being blood on his mattress. So get this, there's blood, you know, you can visibly see it on the mattress, and they decide that they're going to, you know, flip it over. So they flip it over and it's just horrifying to me. The mattress was, like, saturated with blood. Like, 3/4 of it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's like a queen-size mattress. And that's how they were like, okay, there's no way.
There's no way someone survived that. Because if it soaked, because I'm assuming the side that showed soaked was where she was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
For there to be so much blood that it seeped down all the way to the other side of the mattress to stain that side too.
Right. And he flipped it, like, I mean, obviously trying to hide it.
Right.
And there was towels. I forgot to mention this earlier. There was towels, like, on the, what is it, the box spring or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
In between. So he obviously was trying to, like, soak it into the towel or something because that's what had happened.
That's no wrist cut.
Yeah.
That is someone's body.
And you are trying to conceal evidence right there by doing that. So when they're like, oh my gosh, this blood. And like I said, it was a lot of blood. He tries to say that that was from his girlfriend who was on her period.
I don't think in the course of, even if you have a period for 10 days,
right,
that you would lose that much blood, even with your heaviest.
I know. It's like impossible. Days. I don't even think.
You'd have to go to the hospital because right. you'd be anemic. You'd yes. be passed out.
Yep. You would not just lose that much blood without something being very wrong. And somebody would know if you did have that much blood, you would be at the hospital, I'm sure. No one's going to just let that go.
You couldn't even listen.
No.
TMI, but even with a cup, you're going to overflow that with that much blood. That's true story. Not going to stay.
Yeah. No.
You're going to bleed through a tampon and a pad together. Yeah.
So he's...
Does he know
he doesn't.
The He's female mean, anatomy?
No, I don't
School
think so.
School failed him. He did not pay attention
I think
in health
he
class.
Did not at all. We'll get to that more later, too. I have some other evidence to back that up that he does not know. So, at this point, they have enough evidence that they go ahead. And in June of 2006, Chris Edwards was arrested and charged with murder. He turns himself in at this point, but he still just maintains his innocence. So the more they're looking into it, they do believe their theory kind of was that he had used this 18-inch Bangkok battle sword, which I'm actually going to include a picture, not of, you know, the specific one, but I was looking up pictures of that to see what that would look like. And I'll add that in on our social pages to kind of show you to get an idea of what you're looking at. So that was also the sword that they found, you know, her blood on that. And they did confirm overall that the blood found in his bedroom and the blood on the sword were indeed Jessica's. So her blood was on the sword and his blood was actually on the sword as well. As part of the investigation, investigators took his laptop and they looked through the search history, because they always do that.
Right.
They found that on May 9th, so the day before she went missing, at 2:26 p.m., somebody had searched human body. And they also searched arteries. And they even opened up a diagram to see where the arteries
were located. So he could figure out exactly where to stab her.
Right. Premeditation, right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this could have been... I mean, I don't want to give, we'll get to more of that, but I just think...
That's first degree murder.
Right there.
Premeditated.
Yeah, you knew what you were going to do.
It wasn't a heat of the moment thing.
Mm-mm.
That was, you thought it out.
Which initially I was like, okay, maybe it was a heat of the moment thing if it was that, I mean, violent and, you know, like he just lost control. But then when I read this, it's like, no, it's almost like He probably just wanted to do it and was just sick, you know? But... So, I mean, after they see that too, it's like, you know, all kind of comes together. So then the authorities kind of come up with this theory that Chris killed Jessica after they talked about her pregnancy. So here we go. They don't actually have any proof that she was pregnant, but Chris had actually said to one of his friends when they were out golfing the day she disappeared, he said, "I accidentally knocked up this girl." And that was about that. And I think other people had, she had told maybe somebody, I'm not sure. I don't know who it was that shared that with the police, but then everyone else confirmed that too. So I think it was like a very early on thing, if that. They also looked into things and they found out that Chris was seeing another girl at the same time that he was seeing Jessica. So this other girl, he had gotten pregnant in January of 2006.
Oh, so
just
already,
a few months prior.
So he already had a kid on the way.
Uh-huh.
And then potentially had another one that was going to be just a few months younger than this first baby. So you're going to have two babies
busted
by two women.
Yeah. So that's kind of where that health class stuff comes back in. Like, pay attention.
Wear a condom.
Right. He's, So.
I mean, I know condoms don't always work, but geez.
I know. I just feel like if you already got someone pregnant and you're 19 years old, what are you doing to prevent that from happening again? And now you're with another woman.
I feel like the chances of a condom not working with two separate women that close together is highly unlikely. So I feel like it's pretty fair to state that he probably wasn't wrapping it.
Yeah, no. And he probably thought he would never, I mean... be in this situation. So, I mean, the cops think that he was likely trying to solve this problem and wanted to just get rid of it. So that's pretty sad that that's where it went, you know? So we're going to kind of jump forward a little here. Prior to Chris's trial, he was actually offered a deal where he would plead guilty to manslaughter.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. And leave them to Jessica's body. At this point, still no body. So
I wonder if they talked to her parents and if they were just like, they so badly just, they'd rather have her body.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Because
is like, you hit someone with your car.
Right. And you're out.
And you accidentally, that manslaughter is a complete accident.
Right. Yeah. It's like someone died because of an accident.
Because you
nothing did, intentional.
Yeah. Because of your negligence. Uh-huh. That's like you, I feel like max usually like 5 years.
I know. I found that disgusting that would even
for
happen.
For such a brutal murder. There's no way it wasn't a brutal murder. If it was, the bed was that soaked, I'm assuming she was sleeping on the bed and he attacked her that way.
Yeah. I'll give you more links or tell you about some of these videos you can watch later. I think it's like, is it Hometown Homicide? Where there's an episode that's like ID channel.
Oh, I love ID.
Yeah. And they kind of like reenact. You know how they always the people do that? And that's what they show is like, they think she was sleeping and he got up and like attacked her.
Yeah. Well, that would make sense. It would be easier for him if he stabbed her when she was laying down, because if he was a scrawny guy.
Yeah.
I mean, even if she wasn't that big herself, I feel like she'd probably have a better chance. And it sounds like he's a bit of a coward because he can't handle the responsibility of having two babies.
Right.
So he's trying to murder someone, which also, it's still so early. Like, what if she doesn't want the baby?
I know. Do you really have proof that she's pregnant? I'm not saying she would lie about that, but I'm just saying, like before you make such a rash decision.
Make sure, because, I mean, I've had times where I'm like, oh God, am I pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Because I just feel off. You know, or whatever your period is a little wonky and it can happen with stress and stuff. So, I mean, that just seems...
Well, and they think that it was like a very early on thing if she even, you know, if she was pregnant. So, I don't know. But I feel like at this point, her family probably just wanted some kind of closure. Like, how awful not even knowing where your child is.
Yeah, because at this point, they still haven't found her body.
Well, and you still want to think... Even though, I mean, the evidence points to, like, she probably would never have survived something like that without actually having a body. I feel like you'd always have that little bit of hope that maybe you know,
there's some mistake.
Even though you even know, I think just as a parent, even if you know that it's, like, physically illogical impossible, that you just want to know. And until you actually have that proof.
And have that closure.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's where they were at and that's what they were hoping for at this point. But he ends up refusing the deal.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is weird, too, because he could have gotten out early. I mean, think about the time frame, sentence for manslaughter.
Time served, good behavior.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even at 19, even if you serve the full 5 years, you're still only 25, 26.
Yeah. I know, because he was young. And I just thought, okay, does he really not know where her body is? No, I don't believe that. But... Are you just that cold-hearted?
Are you that cocky that you think you're somehow going to get off still?
Yeah that's because true. There's no way. Well, he might have.
I feel like with his lies and stuff, and like, okay, you cleaned her car so meticulously.
Right.
How did you not clean anything
Very good
else?
Point. Yeah, and I think with the evidence, I mean, maybe because they actually didn't have her body that he thought... It would be harder to prove. So he thought maybe he had a chance. Maybe his attorney somehow.
I feel like there's no way his attorney wasn't like, you should take this deal.
Otherwise, he had
a shit attorney.
That's true.
Because
I don't know.
With that evidence, I don't know of an attorney who wouldn't be like, take this deal, you motherfucker.
Yeah, seriously.
Sorry.
No, I know. I get real heated about it, too, when I think about it. Like, just what a little piece of shit he really is. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's some...
So, he's ready to go to trial. So, they go to trial. So, the trial is going to be based just on the circumstantial evidence because they have no body.
Right.
So, it's going to be a lot harder for them to get the guilty verdict, kind of like we just talked about, without the body. So, I mean...
I don't know. That circumstantial evidence is pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. Well...
The mattress alone.
Yes. So, when you have a body, I mean, for people who aren't aware, I mean, I'm sure it's common sense, but it's easier to prove the cause of death because you can tie the weapon with the wounds on the body and see different things. And, of course, there's going to be DNA and all that. But... The prosecution just alleged that they had a vast amount of evidence against him, and it was the clear picture of crime, and they were super confident going into it. So this was actually the first case in Nebraska that went to trial for, what am I saying? Yes, thank you. Murder, homicide. I was like trying to think of the word, without a body. So, okay. So they, you know, during the trial, they talk about a lot of different things that they found during the investigation. And one thing too, speaking of all that blood and trying to clean up the blood, they use luminol to light up the room. So people who watch, you know, all the crime shows, the CSI, they spray that. And then is it like, you know, black lights?
Yeah, the black light.
Yeah, lights it all up. So they could see all over the room swirls of blood where someone had used like a towel and was trying to wipe it down. Yeah. So gross. I just feel like anytime I've watched a show where they do that and it's like the room just lights up, it's so alarming.
And
you know,
I go to a hotel room, yes, I think about those things and I'm just like,
could be so many different things. Yeah, I don't think I like any of the things it could be.
No.
No thanks. So, you know, that's another piece of it. And then also during the trial, a forensic consultant testified that they had performed an analysis of blood stains that were found. And he said that the mattress stain was considered a saturation stain. So this means the volume of blood that had been deposited on the surface of the mattress and soaked into the fabric is basically what that means. Yeah. So it was also said that this was a significant bloodshed event that occurred close to or on the mattress. I mean, there's no way.
There's no way it wasn't on the mattress.
They also said that the spattered blood was a cast off of blood. So from seven individual swings of an object that was wet with blood.
Oh, God.
On the ceiling.
He was like stabbing her repeatedly, probably like down, pulling it out. Yes. And I'm just thinking, like, that's got to be a long, like, that's not an easy. Oh my God. Then I'm wondering too, which is someone like, was he standing like straddling above her?
Yes, I know.
Because I'm like, how do you do that from the side even? I guess it depends on where your mattress, how tall your mattress is and stuff, but that's just, oh my goodness.
And initially, I guess it would depend, I know this sounds really morbid, but like, it would depend on where he even, did he just stab her? Did he do, I mean, what did he do initially? Like, that would be enough to think like she, you know, the fight or flight thing would kick in. So I don't know. I mean, he really had to do it like,
right, like, did he, like, slit her throat first?
Yeah,
or
something that made it, like, where she was incapacitated.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, that alone is just disturbing. I don't, seven swings. I mean, that's a lot. One is a lot, you know? So
one is a lot.
So, that was, you know, a lot of the evidence that kind of came in with the blood. So, then, at this point, the defense obviously doesn't have a lot to work with, and it's very desperate times. So, they call their witness, Michelle, I won't use her last name in here. So this is the other woman that had the child.
So this is the other baby mama.
Yes. Baby mama number one.
Okay.
So she testified that she had met Chris in 2005 while they worked together. So he apparently just hooks up with everyone he works
with.
That's,
he just uses work as a dating.
Right. Dating service. So they worked together and then she became pregnant in January of 2006. And she said at this point, her and Chris had become exclusive. They even had had a serious conversation about marriage just days before Jessica disappeared. She said initially, she was super confused why police were even looking into Chris. She said that Chris had told her that he had a one-time thing with Jessica and he heard that she was pregnant and that he was going to break it off with Jessica and let her know that they could no longer be involved.
If it was a one-time thing, you don't have to break anything off and you're not involved.
Right.
So again, you're contradicting yourself. This man is not a good liar.
No. And for her to believe it at this point, too, like, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I thought you were exclusive.
He clearly didn't get the memo.
Right. And then to be like, oh, I heard she was pregnant. That's weird, too. So it's weird enough. I mean, she believes him enough because after that, she said that she actually slept in his bedroom days after, I mean, Jessica had been gone. So she had gone and
how did she said, not notice all that blood?
I don't know. She said that she didn't notice anything out of the ordinary or anything alarming.
Okay, she's either straight up lying.
She has to be lying.
In denial or a little bit of both. Because there's no way. No way.
Right. Like, did she, was especially she in on it? Like,
well, right. Was she?
I don't know.
Especially a pregnant woman. Like, my sense of smell was her redness. Yeah. Like, oh.
For sure.
And so, like, you're laying on that mattress. There's no way you, even if the room somehow doesn't smell tangy like blood, metallic-y. Yeah. Laying on that mattress, you, if it seeped through that much, there's no way you wouldn't have known.
So, another thing I should have mentioned earlier, when they first had gone in the room and searched, the blood was still wet on his mattress. Yeah. Oh. I read that earlier and I was like, oh, that just shows you how much there really was, because this was days after.
Yeah.
So if this girl really slept in his bed, and if the cops saw blood right away, how would she not have seen that? And what did he say about that?
Listen, she's lying. I'm not an observant person, but I'm pretty sure I would notice blood splatter on ceilings and walls.
Correct.
And as a pregnant woman, you would smell the fresh shoe polish.
Yeah, and whiteout. Didn't kids get high on whiteout, or am I thinking of like
rubber cement?
Oh, rubber. I forgot about that stuff. Oh, maybe I'm thinking of Sharpies too.
Was it Sharpies? Listen, it's like all permanent markers.
I mean, yeah, kids can get high on anything, right, apparently. So, but yeah, whiteout has a very strong smell. And poster paint, I don't know what poster paint is exactly.
Paint specifically just, the poster
paint. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fair. So, okay, so they testify, or that's what she says about all of that. So, she sleeps in the room, doesn't notice anything. And she was very adamant that Chris and Jessica had only slept together the one time. And it was 3 weeks before she disappeared. So she was implying that there was no way that Jessica would have known that she was pregnant.
Well, first of all, how do you know if you're not with him every moment?
Right. So you're just going to buy that lie if he cheated once?
Yeah. Okay. Also, I knew at 4 weeks with both children. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was trying, so I tested and stuff. But, like, no. You, I mean, again, as a woman, when you're about to have your period, the week prior, you know, oh, in a week or so, I'm about to start my period because of things your body does. So if she knows when she's supposed to start, and she, you can see changes. So she could suspect that she's pregnant. Like, a test might not pull up necessarily at that point. But, I mean, there's no reason for her to not be able to suspect that she's pregnant.
Well, and this is Michelle, taking Chris's word on this.
Yeah.
Just believing, oh, it was just 3 weeks ago. Obviously, he's going to feed her that. He's not going to tell her the truth. Duh. Man, so much period talk today.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I mean, it's a very relative. Yeah, it's a relative to the story, too. And it's just a thing. I mean, I don't know.
It's science. Okay.
And there's going to probably be more talk of that. Just spoiler alert. So, okay. So, that was her story. So, the defense uses that, and they're desperately just grasping for straws. So they even tried to say at this point that the blood now on the bed was from a miscarriage and that Jessica had a history of them. That's what they tried to say.
Again, that much blood for a miscarriage, you'd be in the hospital.
You would. You would have to go to the hospital.
If it was that early on, it wouldn't... If you're miscarrying, at that point, it's just a few clumps of cells. So you would think, if anything, it would just feel like a heavier part of your cycle. Right. It's not going to be that much blood.
And a girl that is so involved with her friends and girlfriends and family and texting and calling, I feel like any of that would be something that she would share with them.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, did that just happen that night and then all of a sudden she was gone? Because...
But even then, wouldn't she be texting and be like, oh my God, I lost the baby.
Exactly.
I'm in the hospital, because if there's that much blood, you should be going to the hospital.
Right, right. So, I don't know. That's weird. And they just try to say that that's what that was. Once again, it's not going to be all over the ceiling as well.
No.
Especially when they can prove that it's a cast off, the blood.
Well, and the thing is, though, too, is like, one, how would you even know if she has a history of it unless it's in her medical records? Because people can say whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, is sometimes... Again, some women don't even know that they were pregnant and having a miscarriage. They just think it's their part of their cycle. So, I don't know how you try to track that and say that that's a thing. You got, what, one person to say, oh, I know she's had a few more? Okay, I can say that, too. I can say, Shannon, you has 3-day periods. That doesn't mean anything. No. I didn't know what else, but we were talking about periods.
So yeah, I mean, that's fine. It's just, you know me. That was an example for the record.
Of just being able, like, you can just say really, anything. There's no way to prove it.
And they're just going to say whatever they can at this point because they're so desperate. And they even tried to say that they had found, which I mean, they probably did find birth control in her car, but they were trying to say that she induced a miscarriage herself. I'm like, why? And I don't think birth control, I don't know. And
I don't know if you took enough birth control, if it could. I mean, any medication maybe. But the thing is, like, if I forget a day of taking my birth control, you're supposed to take it, you know, right away.
Oh, yeah.
Taking the two makes me nauseous.
She's not going to just take a bunch.
If she took that many, she would probably throw it all up.
She would be sick. So that was their final attempt, okay? That was their big defense that they had set up. So I think they really just thought because there was no body that they could get away with
it.
Or
they thought our client was a dumbass and didn't take this fantastic plea deal, and so we have to defend him.
Yeah, just a very disgusting attempt to throw anyone under the bus. And I mean, it's just sad for her family already knowing that this happened and then having to hear these details about her sex life on blast for everyone to hear. You know, it's just like, no, it's a humiliating thing anyway. I mean, just like to have everybody hear it. It's no one else's business.
Well,
like,
no. And to, I mean, you're then putting her
irrelevant too.
Yeah. Like you're trying to say that she induced, hello, we have Planned Parenthood here.
Right.
And she's a broke college student. If she wanted that, she could go there.
Right.
And
there was plenty of other
options.
Right. And I mean, I think she would have been,
I don't know.
More concerned. I feel like her demeanor would have been different, too, if something like that was happening. And everyone said she was fine and normal. I mean, acted like herself.
I'm sure her friends would have known if she was like, hey, I don't want to keep this baby.
Yeah. I don't know. That just gets weird. Really dicey. Some might say dicey. You see what I did there? Okay.
Back to last week.
Yeah. I love it. So he is convicted of second-degree murder and use of a deadly weapon in April of 2007.
How is that only second-degree murder? Isn't second-degree murder like a heat of passion thing?
Yeah,
like it's not premeditated?
That's first-degree. And I wonder if it's just because they don't have the body, if that has something to do with it.
Maybe.
You know? Because I mean, the heat of the moment.
At least it's still a murder charge, but I mean, he for sure planned that out.
Yeah, he did.
It's second-degree is way better than manslaughter, at least.
Yeah.
But
still,
I can't
it's
believe
stupid.
That that's all it would be.
I know. So he was sentenced to 100 years to life. And I know I said this earlier, but this is the only Nebraska case where someone has been prosecuted and convicted without a body or a confession. So that's pretty big.
Yeah.
And they only had the blood, you know, and they had no body tissue, which they talked about how that would make things a lot easier to prove too.
Yeah.
So just blood alone. So it's pretty, not cool, but it's, I mean,
no, good. I mean,
like some sort
I'm
of justice, you know? So then things start to get even dicier though. Like you think we're done, but we're not. And it's, okay. So we think we're done. And then a few years later, around the same time, I'm sorry, this is kind of a weird like thing that kind of intertwines with this. So around this time, the Douglas County Crime Lab director, his name was David Kofod. I had to look that up because I was saying it wrong. So Kofod, he was actually found to have planted evidence in another double murder that happened in May of 2006.
Oh.
Same time frame. So that whole thing happens and he was convicted of evidence tampering and he was sentenced to 2 years in prison. So naturally, this presents quite the opportunity for Chris's attorney to appeal his conviction based on that information.
Okay, but this isn't like the making a murderer Stephen Avery case where it was a drop of blood and a key that they miraculously found.
And it was just laying perfectly on the edge.
It was laying perfectly. Mm-hmm. This is a human body worth of blood on a mattress and splatter all around the room.
Yeah.
That's not something that's easily planted.
Right. So, yeah, that alone was stupid. I'm like, which, whatever. It turns out, okay, so Kofod actually didn't work the case, Chris's case, but he supervised it.
Okay.
But they were able to prove that there's no one could have planted that one. No one's ever by themselves in the crime scene.
Yeah.
So it would have been a noticeable thing. So this is kind of what comes up. So the prosecutor in Jessica's case was aware of the evidence tampering activities of Kofod, but at the time of Chris's trial, Kofod was not under any suspicion, and there was no proof that he engaged in evidence tampering in that case. So they were able to prove that. So his conviction was upheld in January of 2015. Because this was a very long, drawn-out
thing. Appeals can take a really long time.
Well, and then the whole thing with the David Kofod, like, that alone took a long time for his. I remember seeing that on the news, and I was like, this is so alarming to me.
I don't remember that at all.
It was, because he, it was a double homicide, like they said, and he planted blood from one of the victims on, in someone's car.
Oh, geez.
And they said that was, like, one of the biggest things they had of evidence to tie. Oh, so, like, it was a huge thing. So I just remember that and kind of thinking, like, that's scary if, you know, these are the people, like, you know, okay, you want our justice system to work, and then you have people like that. So, okay, so that goes down in, what did I say, 2015? Okay. So a few years after that, after his sentencing, actually probably not a few years, probably just shortly thereafter, I think, because I'm trying to think of the timeline. I know I'm
so he was
I'm
sentenced going all in 2007.
Over. Yeah. So then that whole thing happened was like 2015. So this didn't give me an exact date. I know it was later on. So, I mean, you'll see here. I think this was like 2017, I want to say, when I read it. But authorities said that a cadaver dog had found a key piece of evidence that prompted them to reopen this case, Jessica's case. They received a tip about Edward's family stating that they had started work in their backyard around the time that Jessica went missing.
Oh.
So they're tearing up their backyard at the same time Jessica's missing. So this is not at his house where his aunt lives. This is his parents' separate house. So when this all happens, they also didn't say what evidence they had from a cadaver dog. I read that multiple places. I'm not sure what key evidence they found, but enough to reopen it at least.
Right.
So they open it. And then in the backyard, they used heavy duty saws to cut through concrete that was under their deck that they had poured. They even had an archaeologist radar unit showing that there was a sizable mass inside the concrete. They were hopeful that they would be able to find her, and they were actually really certain that that was her. So they even had the cadaver dog there, and they got the search warrant, you know, and once it was all dug up, they had no trace of Jessica. So I'm not sure what the sizable mass was that they saw, which I think that could be, I mean, a lot of different things. Maybe like,
I mean, sizable
an animal.
Did they have a pet that they,
I don't know,
a family pet or something, but I don't know. That seems, you do all that with a sizable mass, you had to have found something unless the sonar was wrong.
I don't know. That's what I thought was really odd. And I mean, I don't know. That'd be really shady too for your parents to be like in on that, because I'm sorry, there's no way they wouldn't know, would they?
Not necessarily. If they were digging it up, and not necessarily.
I mean, that's another thing they talked about too. So I guess we don't know if Chris himself drug her out of his room, if he had dismembered her, we don't know. But they mentioned several times that they found it very hard to believe that he could have pulled this off by himself.
I don't know. If he had the gardening shears, though, he could have.
I know.
I feel like he maybe would have dismembered her. I think if anyone could have potentially been involved, like, potentially,
baby mama
would have the most reason to.
Right.
And I'm not trying to, like, besmirch anyone or say that she for sure did.
No, it's just, like, theories. I mean, it's very intriguing because
I don't know. To me, it seems more of, like, something he did on his own. And I could see him, if he had a garbage bag full of already other bloody towels and stuff, and there was that much blood on the bed, even from stabbing, I feel like there'd be a lot. But I don't know, if you dismembered someone, that's a ton of blood there too. Right. It's all gonna drain there.
And I don't know how sharp those knives are.
Gardening,
you know,
shears can be pretty sharp. And if you just kind of go at someone's joint area,
I was thinking of the Bangkok sword. Yeah, but those too. The garden shears. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about that. And then you said that. I was like, oh, yeah, that's
because you said they found bloody garden shears in his thing. So if he went at the joints at least.
Maybe.
He could have potentially.
I don't know. I mean, he had lots of time, it sounds like. I mean, between the time they even talked to him. So, I mean, I don't know. But that was, I think, sad, because I think everyone really got their hopes up. And I even remember that too, back in the day when that happened.
Yeah.
Because I was like kind of interested in this, but I didn't know enough about it. And I just remember them saying they're reopening it. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Are we going to find a body? Like, I don't know what's going on here, but they did not. So, Chris is actually, he's serving his sentence out at Tecumseh State Correctional Facility in Nebraska. So this, I have heard stories about Tecumseh, and you do not want to be there.
Yeah.
It is, like, the hardest, I mean, hardcore, keep your head down.
Well, that's where they send the, like, violent offenders, yeah. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. So
that's good. I mean, I'm glad he's there, to be honest. So he's, will be eligible for parole in 2056, which, I mean, that seems far away, but that doesn't, it's really at the not, same
he'd
time.
He'd only be 69 or so. Mm-hmm.
Which is alarming to think that.
Yeah.
I mean,
I hope he doesn't get out.
I know. So back in 2006, when she, you know, had been missing for a while, her family did hold like a memorial service for her, but they still yearn for closure. To this day, Jessica has still not been found. So I think they're always going to have that hope, you know? And I remember hearing back when this happened, like people, you know, everyone wanted to think they knew what happened. And I remember someone even saying something about like one of the new targets, like out.
Well, it was new. The yeah. one off of 72nd and Dodge.
Oh, that one. I was thinking that one.
Or is it the one?
168th and Maple.
Oh, is that the one they think it's yeah. like she's under?
Yeah. Because they said something about when it was, that was like convenient timing because they were just pouring cement or something, which, okay, that seems like a stretch, but I guess my point with that is like, you really have to think about all avenues and what, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like someone has to know something, or at some point you want to think that she's going to show up.
Or maybe someone knows something that they don't realize is a key piece of evidence. Yeah,
exactly. Because I feel like that's usually what happens, you know? And I don't know why they couldn't ping his phone, you know, like to see where he drove. I don't know if that was a thing then.
Yeah.
But they could, I feel like if they would have like looked to see where he drove that night, because I know that's like how they found Sydney Loof, you know, that case, yeah. how they found her body.
Well, wasn't Anand Saeed, wasn't that case around the same time and they were pinging his phone?
Oh, yeah.
Or the drug dealer guy's phone who was like the main key witness. Either way, they pinged a phone and I didn't think it was too much longer after.
Right. Because it wasn't, I mean, I don't know. By then, and I feel like they should have had they that.
Yeah.
Unless he, like, left his phone at home purposely, you know? Yeah. I don't know.
He doesn't seem smart enough for
I know,
that,
once but again.
Maybe. But again, maybe in 2006, maybe that wasn't really a reliable thing.
Yeah. I mean, and then the shovel, I don't know if I had said that there was dirt on the shovel.
Okay.
I mean, I know that's not a huge thing, but okay, so.
But they found that one case you did, they were able to narrow down
oh, yeah. the area what kind of the soil. Dirt. Yeah, yeah, it was like a specific kind. So I think, I mean, there's still hope. And I feel like sometimes things, people forget things or they don't realize something they saw was something that could, you know, tie them into that. So, yeah, that's some of that. So Chris, too, I'm going to post some pictures of him when he first was arrested and pictures of him now. So his look has significantly changed and he went in as this scrawny little nerdy, I mean, that's whatever, guy. And now he has like long hair and he's all tattooed like he thinks he's a badass. And it's like, dude, no.
So yeah, but I'm, you're in that kind of,
you have to protect yourself, but yeah. It's just crazy. It's like day and night from
yeah.
And he looked like he dressed kind of preppy like before yeah. and stuff. So orange is not a good color on him, but that's that. So I'm going to post some of those. I am not going to post a picture of the mattress. If you want to see that, you can look online. I mean, it just feels like out of respect. I yeah. don't want to post that. I do have a picture where you can see kind of the side of the mattress, which I think that one's okay. But mm-hmm. the one they show when they lift the mattress, and that one you can find online. So I'll post the pictures that I can, but I kind of just want to like close out with a little bit about Jessica, because I really want this to be more focused on her and not him. And I tried to talk or reach out to one of her friends once again, the problem with messages going to
the other school.
Yeah. And I think her friend would be, I don't know, maybe willing to talk, because I'm also going to tell you guys about a couple places where you can watch. They have like a couple documentaries you can watch, and they actually interview like her roommates, and you know, now they're grown with families and stuff. Yeah. And so it's really interesting to see what their perspective is on it. But, so everything that I did find, it talked about, they said, you know, Jessica was just, they described her as being very lively, free spirited, and just happy. They said she loved everyone as they were. And if you have any information regarding Jessica's remains, please reach out. It's not too late ever to give family closure and just help her put them, you know, them to put her to rest. So the number that I will give you is just the Omaha Police Department, and it's also the Douglas County Sheriff's line. The phone number there is 402-333-1000. So that's where you would call if you knew anything remotely helpful. Also, the documentaries I was talking about, the one is called The Hometown Homicides. The episode is called This Just In. And then the other one I had found was on Forensic Files. And the episode was called Sordid Scheme. Sordid Scheme. Yeah. That's hard. That's like a mouthful.
Oh, instead sordid of sorted?
Yeah. They like did. Sword,
yeah,
SW,
but
sword.
Yeah, instead of sorted, like SOR,
yes,
DID.
So sorted. That's Forensic Files. I'm not sure where that one I did not watch. I knew they had it, but I just watched the
Forensic
other
Files.
One.
I'm pretty sure is on ID,
yeah. So check that out if you're interested in learning more. There is a lot on the internet that you can find, I mean, in regards to the case. So, that one was just, yeah, that was one that I really wanted to.
Yeah, I remember hearing a little bit about it, but I think that was like the weekend, like around that weekend is when I graduated high school.
Yeah.
And so I was 18 and preoccupied, and
yeah, and see, even then,
and I lived in a small town, not near, like Omaha was a distant thing for
oh,
me.
Yeah.
Because I lived an hour and a half away, and
yeah. Yeah, see, because like in Lincoln I didn't think anything of it, and I remember when I moved to Omaha and I went to massage school, one of the girls I was in class with, like, she knew someone who was good friends with him or something. Because I just remember that chatter.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, who's this girl? I mean, she was, yeah, not connected in any way. But I was,
yeah,
like, that's creepy. You know someone that did that, you know?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, everyone has different theories. And
of course.
One of my friends said that, one of her friends, I know this is a lot of, like, hearsay. Mm-hmm. But she actually worked at the office where his defense attorney was, and so when he had gone in there a few times, she said he was just super smug, he didn't talk at all, and he always would have them order him a Subway sandwich with, I mean, a very specific order, and she said he was a giant asshole. So
wow, I bet he thought he was gonna get off.
I know, I really,
I bet he
think
he
did
get away with it.
And it's like, I don't know if his family has money or like what he thought he had,
yeah,
going for him to help himself, but he clearly just, yeah, didn't work. So
wow,
yeah, that's so, that case. So
I can post, I'll have you text me that number too.
Yes.
And then I can post it in the show notes.
Okay.
As well. But, you know, I think, yeah, you guys, we appreciate, like I said before, any feedback you guys have. We'll post in the show notes all of our socials.
Yes.
And if you have your own stories that you want to share, you have questions, comments, you can email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We'd love suggestions. If you have stories from Heartland States, either paranormal, the cryptids, you know, UFO, true crime,
yeah,
the Bigfoot, any of those things, like, email us. We would love to hear from you. I mean, we just love to hear from you. We love,
right,
when you guys comment on things. We love when you, to hear from you guys. So don't hesitate to shoot us an email. Like I said, I'll just, instead of rambling on about all of our places you can meet us at.
Yeah, we have all the things.
We have all the things. So I will link those all in the show notes. So
yeah, and also, if some of that's like hard to understand as far as like the documentaries and phone numbers and stuff, like you said,
yeah,
if you just message us, we can get that information. So it's not like the show notes or whatever is the only place to find
that. Exactly. Yeah. Feel free to email us or message us on Facebook or Instagram. Yeah. We love it. We love getting the messages. What? Hey, did you see? We got a message.
Yeah. It's so fun. And even like, I know we've gotten tons of cases from people that they, you know, want us to do. And we don't want you to think just because we don't do it right now doesn't mean we're not going to do it. It's definitely on the docket of things. We have a list of...
We make a list, but especially because a lot of the stuff we got right now are Nebraska things.
Right.
And we're trying to space out Nebraska. You know, we're trying to cover all the heartland states. So Nebraska might pop in a little more frequently than some of the other states. But we are trying to be kind of fair, kind of keep it, you know, spread out a little bit, too. So, yeah, send us those. We write them down every time.
Yep.
We have ongoing lists. We have planned out right now who's doing what state when. And
for like June, right?
Yeah.
Well, that, for us, that's really good.
Yes. Yes, it is. So, yes, we love your suggestions. If it takes us a little while, I mean, I've got some other ones planned out that the case I want to do for the next episode, I couldn't find enough information on right now. So that's on the back burner. So sometimes even a case we like, but we want to make sure we have good details for them. We don't want it to be just the murder. We like to have a little bit of background about who the victim was too. Mine, actually the one I ended up covering, going with instead, kind of covers mental health too, but the one I want to cover has a lot to do with mental health, and I wanted to make sure I did that justice. So that one is gonna have to wait for now, but don't think that we don't love your suggestions. We don't appreciate them. We do. Keep them coming, please.
Yeah, and some of them are just hard. I have one from my hometown that people keep telling me, and I would love to do that, but I just, I'm waiting. It's still fragile, and I just, out of respect, I mean, those cases, everybody knows someone in each case, so
yes,
it's just harder for us to talk about when it's people we know. So
yeah, definitely. But until next week, stay heartland kind
but darkland wary.